Well, in the first half, I do a long jag on interior car temps and fixes. Rob Schneider's going to join us, comedian Stephen Ho as well. First, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Chris Howard, former Jacksonville Jaguar running back and 1997 National Championship running back from the University of Michigan. Get plugged in with me every week as I'll be breaking down the biggest topics in the world of sports and entertainment. Join me and my special guest for some honest conversations about sports and life when the cameras are no longer flashing. I'll also be breaking down weekly matchups for NFL and college football games. Be in the know, listen to, and follow Plugged In with Chris Howard now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Rob Schneider, and comedian Stephen Ho. With Gina Grad on news and Chris Loxamana on trending topics. And now, if you count his childhood home and North Hollywood High, he's also a formerly incarcerated individual. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The church is going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
And Ball. Ball Bryan is out today. He's getting an infusion. So we hope that's going well for him. But that's all right. We've got enough show for the rest of us here.
Almost too much show.
Almost too much show. So Rob Schneider's going to be calling in. He's driving as we speak out from Arizona. He's going to be doing my show tonight with Leno and Sarah Silverman and blah, blah, blah.
An evening of stars.
An evening of stars. So first things first. I am obsessed with technology or then their sort of lack thereof.
Right.
You know, we have smartphones and space shuttles and we're launching Teslas to the orbit, but yet certain things we haven't figured out.
Right.
I have lamented this many times, but it's been a while. So here it goes. I have a loaner car because I'm having problems with my car that nobody can figure out that keeps stopping and going dead, and they keep picking it up on a flatbed, and then they keep it a week or two, and then they bring it back, and then it works again for 4 days, and then it happens again, and then they pick it up again.
And this is a computer issue. If not, your guys could just deal with it.
Probably, but with new cars, you know, all bets are off.
No
but
wrenching.
Something. Anyway, they... So they dropped off a much lesser SUV that is black with a black interior. Mm. And it's been 103 degrees out here. Yeah. And that car is parked in an open blacktop parking lot.
Oh, frosty.
And when I get inside that thing, you know, I park it at 10 o'clock when I get here. I go out there at 4:30. It is... well over 150 degrees inside of the car. And, you know, look, anyone who's been out, let's just say, I remember taking a bus ride for a bachelor party to Vegas, and we stopped at the world's biggest thermometer, whatever, over
Baker.
There, Baker. And it was like 118 degrees outside, and we went into a truck stop and cooled off and
got some alien jerky.
Got some alien jerky and some Greek food or something. I remember walking outside at 115, 118 degrees, and it was like a blast furnace.
Yes.
Anyone who's been in Palm Springs or Death Valley when it's, you know, 120 degrees, you should realize how brutal it is. This 153 degrees inside of the car. You burn your hands on the steering wheel. The seat's black. You burn your ass on that. The knobs, which are made of like a knurled metal.
Oh, boy.
they stay hot. Like, you can blow all the air you want, but it's like taking a spoon and putting it over an open flame, right, or a skillet that's right been on the stove for a while. You can dunk it in cold water.
No.
Go ahead and touch it 5 minutes later.
It retains the heat.
It's still hot. So you're burning your fingers on the buttons and the knobs. It's 150 degrees. Now you have to get into some weird zone where you have to start planning. Like, when we finish today, I'm going to hightail it off to Malibu because I got to turn it around and get out to the Improv on Melrose. And it's a lot of driving. It's a lot of time. I can't run out of the studio, jump in the car, and take off.
No, somebody's got to get that shit revved up.
I got to fire that shit up, roll the windows down, run that car, wait 10 minutes. Now you're in this weird zone of, do I stand by my car in the sun for 10 minutes? Or do I go back inside the building and just leave it open in today's world in Los Angeles where everyone is grabbing everything from inside of everyone's car? They'll probably think it's a bait car because the fucking thing's going to be running with the windows down. Like, a savvy thief would not go near that car. But every time this comes up, I go, it's 2022. Yeah. This car doesn't have it. I got a black label flagship Lincoln SUV. It doesn't have it. No, none of them have the recirc air thing except for Gary and his goddamn Tesla. Gary's Tesla, parked in the same place I'm parked, when it hits 100 degrees, a recirc fan kicks on and vents the car.
When the car's off?
When the car is off. Now, it's an all-electric car, so it's got the battery power to do it. Obviously, it uses battery power. The newer Teslas, they say, are going to have a thing. Oh, and Gary's Tesla also has a thing. He's driving the Model 3. It's under 50 grand. Imagine this utopia. He plugs the shit in at his house, gets a full charge, then, you know, goes down to the Costco up the street, parks it, goes inside for 90 minutes. He can set that shit for 68 degrees.
Oh, fuck.
Now, it's going to use the battery,
minty
but
fresh.
He doesn't need the whole battery to get home. Am I right, Gary?
Yeah, if you're not going to Palm Springs, you know, you're just tooling around town, you can leave that thing running for an hour. You'll lose 4% of battery.
The car's secure. Yeah. Right. And could you imagine going down to like the Burbank Costco on a day like today, going in and tooling around for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then coming back out to a 68 degree car?
I cannot. Not in January.
Because our choice is now, especially if you're driving a fucking black on black and it's parked out in the goddamn Costco, you got your kids. I don't know if you got your dog. Like, you got to get in there, fire it up, and then stand in the parking lot or go back in and get a hot dog off the cart. Like, what the fuck? Why do we not have this in a, it's like a Bentley SUV. Hmm. Like, you get those things loaded up, they're 300 grand.
You have a Bentley SUV right now?
Goddamn, no, I don't.
Okay.
The point
I thought you were saying that was the shitty version.
I'm saying one of those Bentley SUVs, when you get them fully loaded, could be, you knock on the door, 300 grand.
Oh, boy.
Probably more sold in Los Angeles than all of Arkansas.
What?
It's 103 degrees out here. They get them in black all the time.
It's dumb.
Or you get the Lambo Huracan SUV. It's 327. It doesn't have this.
Yeah.
So you could be parked at a Costco, and my childhood car, my mom's 68 Dodge Dart that somebody got on eBay for $300, could be parked next to it. There'd be the exact same temperature.
The great equalizer.
When you climbed into that car.
Yeah.
Now, once you got in the car, you got Alcantara leather and burl walnut on the dash and a 200-speaker sound system. But the temp in that car?
Same.
I don't care if you're the biggest rap producer in the world. You're burning your fucking ass the same way my mom was in 1981 in that car.
They don't want to know that. I do hear what you're saying, and I will translate it, and I will risk my friendship with Gary to say, yes, you can borrow Gary's car tonight.
Jesus H. Christ. I got some temp breakdowns because I went on a rampage.
We're digging deeper.
I think it is after an hour. on a day where the sun is shining and your car's parked out of the shade, it's 43 degrees hotter than whatever the outdoor temperature is. After 90 minutes, it's 48 degrees. Oh, so boy. It goes up 5 degrees in that 90 minutes. Now, they don't have the data online, but my car's sitting for 5.5 hours. So if you can incrementally go up about 5 degrees every half hour. Yeah. So I don't know if it keeps climbing at the same level, but what I'm saying is my car out in the sun for 5 hours is hotter than your car in 90 minutes. And if you add 48 to 102,
that's cookie baking.
You're already to buck 50.
Yeah.
Now I'm probably to buck 61. I mean, what the fuck? How come this isn't a thing? And again, I get it if you're buying, you know, an Econo Yaris shitbox or something. But for cars that are well over 100 grand.
But maybe besides you, it's a self-selecting group. Like those people don't complain because they're parked underground or they're not doing their own Costco run. Do they just not confront it as much?
I'm guessing a fair amount of them like live in Malibu. Mm-hmm. It's 30 degrees cooler.
Yeah, nice and breezy.
They all have covered parking.
Yeah.
And yeah, they probably send people to go on their Costco runs. But
why can't you send someone over 10 minutes early to sit in the car and they can burn themselves?
I could.
I think you should.
And I probably won't, but I could. But I'm still paying somebody to go sit in my car and melt.
Yeah.
And God, don't get me started on the pet or the kid that's left behind.
Well, that's how you end up on Oprah.
I mean, yeah, or Nancy Grace even.
Oh, don't get me started with those mothers.
But what about the recirc, Nancy? Wouldn't that be a plus?
Are you talking about that show where all the crazy French people with the paint go on and wave their penises around? That is what leads to the debauchery that has become this country.
You're thinking of Puppetry of the Penis and Cirque du Soleil.
What are you talking about?
Recirculating the air. Recirculating the air.
Oh, that sounds refreshing. You know who does that? Hmm. Sometimes they do that in the shed that the predator has out back that he keeps the teenage girl in.
Well,
so
obviously,
that's why you got to lock your doors at night.
You could still be, obviously, abducted if you left the kid in the car, but the kid wouldn't melt. You wouldn't have to break the window.
Six in one, half dozen in the other, Adam Carolla. If your kid's dead, your kid's dead.
So why not fucking integrate that into cars with all the goddamn technology that's going on? Think about you driving your car now. It's got a sensor everywhere when you change lanes.
Yep. Even I have that.
It'll apply the brake for you
when
you're coming up too close on a car. Don't tell me we don't have the technology. Now, it would add a price. You'd have to have a secondary like battery in the trunk, and you'd have to have the recirc fan.
Right.
You wouldn't even need to do what Gary's car does, which run the air conditioning pump.
Right.
Just whole house fan it. Just recirc it.
Yeah, we haven't been talking about that.
Do it on a solar panel. Have the roof have a little solar strip and just run this fan in that just vents the car out.
Seems quite doable. I have a slightly more poor man's suggestion. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have screen doors on car windows?
Mm.
Because they make the knife-proof kind.
Mm-hmm.
Because we used to hawk them on KFI.
Really?
Yeah, they have like the slash-proof screens so you can leave your door open on a summer's night.
Oh, in your home.
That's right.
So
why don't we put those in the window and just roll the windows down?
They have shades you can pull down on nicer cars.
Yeah, why don't you just spend the $15 and get those?
I'm sort of with you. So, I mean, you put the thing in the dashboard, you know, the big piece of cardboard
that's
up.
That's good for like 12 degrees.
You put the side shade and you do all that and you go from 161 to 157 and a half.
Right.
You're still fucking broiling your ass off inside that car.
We'll get to it, car makers. And speaking of which, we have a heartbreaking car recall that I'm going to get to in the news.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Rob Schneider's going to be calling in as well. There are some cars like the Rivian, but that's like 150 grand and 2 year wait. It's a new all electric SUV. They're coming out with an SUV. They have an electric truck.
Who makes it? Who is it?
Rivian.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. The Toyota Prius has a solar panel ventilation system.
Okay. So Chris
utilizes
has
electric fan to draw and circ whatever. And it goes, when it goes over six, when it's parked in the cabin temperature, goes over 68. Oh, that seems low. There's some electric cars that are making some moves, but I'm just saying
overall,
it's 2022. Let's make it a let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be dealing these things in Prescott, Arizona, or Beverly Hills, California, or Tarzana, California,
all over the Southwest,
you've got all the high rollers in Texas.
Yep.
Now.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
If you think about where these big time SUVs are going, they're going to California, Arizona, and Texas. All 155 degrees when people yep. climb back into that car. All right, Rob Schneider is on line one. Rob?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Where are you right now?
I'm on that beautiful 10, that gorgeous stretch of highway between Arizona and California, that beautiful, oh. It's a dump. I'll be honest with you. It's a hellhole. I'm stuck here. I had to get out. If you can afford to get out of California, you get out.
I concur. How long's the drive from where you are to the improv?
From where there's no life at all in the middle of the desert to get to the improv, I would say about 5 hours, going about 85. You know what? It's just one of those things. You know that you go to the gas station and you come out and say, who's the idiot spilling gas everywhere?
Right.
And I go, God, what kind of idiot? And anyway, it was my car. I had a napkin, that was filling up the tank. So I wouldn't touch my delicate little clean hands,
mm-hmm.
and then the napkin got stuck in the thing, so it just poured gas everywhere.
It struck me that when everyone switches over to an electric vehicle, we're all going to miss the gas station experience.
We're going to miss it?
Well, miss out yeah. on the gas station experience, sort of like my kid will never know a football coach who cusses at them,
right. Calls them
and
ladies.
Tells them their last easy day was yesterday. Like whatever,
yeah.
however that motivates you,
yeah.
you're not going to have the surly, steel-eyed foreigner guy yeah. screaming pump number three at you over and over again.
That's true.
You're not going to
have that the sleeveless t-shirt.
Yeah.
The guy with the shorts and flip-flops. And he's totally sunburned and has like different, has the fourth degree of skin cancer and just hasn't seen anybody about it. That's the stuff, real life stuff you miss.
Yeah, you're not going to. What about this delicate dance of trying to pick out the right Snickers bar and or the pack of cigarettes? Mm-hmm. No, ultralight. No, those are menthol. No, not one more. Yeah, keep no down.
The Pall Mall?
Down. Yeah, you're not going to have that experience. You're not gonna know about the cornucopia of potential jerkies you could be eating.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, they make an ostrich jerky?
That's right.
I didn't even know that. Yeah, we're gonna miss out. My kids are not gonna know that world.
Such interesting junk now. You go in there and you can buy bracelets, kids' toys. There's pool things. You can take a trucker shower for $10.
Right.
They've really got it. The side of the road is a very important part of American culture that we should miss. It's like your grandparents missed it because they weren't allowed to pump gas.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That was,
like New Jersey.
That was the 1970s thing. Came in the 70s.
Yeah, they had to sit. Right? They sat in the car. Some guy with a bow tie would come running out, and he would check the oil, and he would pump the gas. He'd check the tire pressure.
Damn!
And then he'd hand you a roll of blue chip trading stamps.
What?
You would pay
right.
in stamps.
This sounds like a utopia.
I would love, what I'd like to do with my kids? I would like to go back to Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley. I remember like the Phillips 66 on the corner where my grandparents would go. I would like to show them the guy who worked at that gas station from 1967 versus the guy who's there today.
Boy.
The guy with the fucking wife beater and the gravy on it.
Get the bends.
The guy's got the Lebanese flag tattooed on his upper arm and is screaming at everyone. That guy.
And they won't let you use the bathroom.
No, for customer only. If you do get the key would have a keychain on it that would be a truck tire.
Yes.
You have to like roll it over there. I would like to show them this is the guy who runs the gas station now. This is what the guy used to look like. Bow tie, hat, looked like
his name's Jim.
Looked like John Boy from the Waltons.
And you should show them also that the pollution in Los Angeles was worse in the late 70s than it is now.
Yeah.
Air pollution.
Oh, yeah. We'd have smog days. Yeah. That guy could come running out, check the tire pressure.
Call you sir.
Ma'am and sir. I would also like to juxtapose the old-timey Los Angeles, same era, 1967, ice cream man versus
the rape van,
the Armo from the Glendale guy who got his van with Grandma's Attic up top and stuck a bunch of stickers on the side.
Plays Ring Around the Rosie off key.
And a broken down. Yeah.
I'm surprised everybody in the neighborhood wasn't picked up and kidnapped. And Mike, because any truck, there was people taking pictures and photographs. We would get in that car and that van who came by the neighborhood. Any van that we didn't even think twice about it. You know, the ice cream, let's go. You know, you know how to come inside. Why wouldn't we? You know, it was that was the era. You know, it was just it was. I'm just surprised that nobody. You know, I guess criminals finally caught on to the idea.
Yeah.
Hey, we can really you could snatch people now.
Yeah, it wasn't a thing. I mean, it wasn't. Look, the good humor guy, that was a job.
Like
that
a career.
That was a career for an adult.
Yeah.
You know, you had your change belt on. First off, anyone had that change belt, you ruled the roost. You would be the most popular human being I grew up with a change. It could be empty.
Sure.
Just having that, I'm going to make some change.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it from right above my balls.
You got the nifty wedge cap.
Wedge cap, bow tie. Now, I don't even, by the way, I'll make change. I don't even have to look down.
Oh, shit.
I just know where the nickel and the dime is. Man, pow, pop, pop. You just bought yourself a bomb pop. Boom. You gave me a buck. Here we go. Pop, pop. There you go. There's your 18 cents.
That guy also had, he had his keys that were attached to his body by a chain that went back and forth.
Yeah.
That's impressive, too. And the same guy.
And the rig was spotless.
Oh, yeah.
White, well-kept, probably kept it at home.
Washed it every morning.
Washed it, wiped it down every morning. Hey, speaking of kids, you got a movie here, which is called Daddy-Daughter Trip. Just wrapped production.
That's right. You know, I had to make something, you know, because my wife literally has never, won't let any of my old movies let my kids see any of the old movies, like Goose Bigelow or The Hot Chick. So I had to make one that they could go see. So it's a really nice little movie, and it's coming out. We're opening it in Arizona first, and this because that's where we filmed it. So it's in Harkins Theaters. That's September 30th, October 1st is the opening weekend. And it's fun. I mean, I got to make a movie. Basically, it's just it's like a poor guy who, can't take his kid on a vacation anywhere on a spring break trip, and she's embarrassed. She's a second grader. She's embarrassed because all her friends are going somewhere. So she lies and says she's going to all these cool places for spring break, and the dad decides to take her anyway without any money.
Oh, so, I love that.
Yeah, they go to. She said, "Are we going to? Where are we going, Dad? We're going to get wet, maybe." And he takes her instead of to. We're going to a water park, kind of. And he takes her to a car wash.
Who did you film this with? Did you cast the daughter?
Yeah, my own little girl, Miranda. I put her in it, and then Adam Sandler's wife, Jackie Sandler's in it. John Cleese, Monty Python, my hero, he's in it. So we had a really, really good time making the movie. Monica Huarte, she's a big comedy star from Mexico, and another guy from Spain who's really great. So he's really good. Miguel Angel Munoz. What a cool name that is, huh?
Yeah, John Cleese, not Cleese. Correcting you, Rob.
Cleese,
I'm just
like
saying.
Cheese.
Cleese.
Cleese, yeah.
Cleese, like cheese.
That's his real name. His real name was Cheese, and his dad changed it. That's a true story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It really was Cheese.
Yeah.
And he said he would have preferred to have Cheese because, you know, what better comedy name is there than that?
Yeah, I had a so funny story about John Cleese. Obviously, he's a hero to all in comedy.
Sure.
And I interviewed him about a year ago, and I said, "Do you consider yourself smart or funny? Which one first? Like, what do you think?" And he went, "That is the most I've never thought about that. It's the most interesting question I've ever been asked." And he thought about it for a long time. And then he answered, you can listen to it on the archives, but Then when a guy was done interviewing him, I've never met him. He did it over the phone. My people said, John wants to talk to you. John thought that was a fantastic interview, and he'd like to talk to you. And can we give him your number?
Ooh,
I said, oh, this is great. Then I never heard from him.
Oh.
And a couple of weeks ago, I got a text from John Klaus, who's a guy I knew from 20 years ago, like a neighborhood guy wanted to borrow something from me. And I just looked down and went, John Klul. And it's like, CL is, I don't know any John Klul. I haven't heard from John Klaus in a million years. Yeah. And they're like, oh.
There was a goat behind window number
two. I've known him for years, and he's never said one thing nice to me like that. So you're in a good place.
Yeah, although he quickly forgot about it. But John Cleese has been making the rounds, talking about free speech and comedy, sure. And he's been kind of a hero, kind of old school guy piping up.
Oh yeah, no, he is. I mean, he doesn't understand like it's not like that. You and I became these right. We're called right wing conservatives just because the liberals don't know what to do with us, because we do believe in free speech, because we do stand for what real liberalism is, which is, you know, freedom of choice. The freedom to decide what you want to do with your own body, what you want to keep government away. There is, like, the true liberalism, gay rights, you know, women's rights. This is traditional liberal values that all of a sudden, just because it doesn't go far enough, we get thrown into this because they don't know what to do with us.
Yeah.
The labeling of right wing. Whereas John Cleese agrees with us 95% of everything. It's just that I just think he's got to sit down and listen to you for an hour, and then he'll be on our side of the fence completely.
Yeah, I don't know where he is, but there are guys like him and Bill Maher. I actually forgot to tell Chris, but his last show, he did that whole, his ending rants have been brilliant, but did a whole thing on what happened. Being fat is bad. Why are we shaming people who point this out? You know, doctors can't weigh you anymore, or you can request them not to weigh. It's like, it's a health issue. Well, that's why you're at the doctor.
No, it is a health issue. You know, the thing is, if any weight is healthy, then you're saying anorexic people are healthy too? Any
right.
weight?
Mm.
So what it is, it's just like, you have to be able to call people on their bullshit. You have to be able to say, and the idea that just to accept everybody completely as it is, it's just is lunacy. And so you're really having, you're having like with kids, you end up with kids surrounded by plexiglass because we're worried about the teacher.
But
like,
you know, yeah. But bigger picture. If somebody is obese and it's a health, I mean, it's just, as Bill said, you don't see fat 90-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like, by the way, the longevity thing is about really being kind of underweight now. But the point is this, whether it's not shaming the kid who's morbidly obese or lowering the math scores for the Black and Hispanic community, are you doing them a service, I guess, is my question. If the kid's going to walk around and he can't do basic math and he's fat, what the fuck kind of life is that? Who are we helping here?
Well, it's that old adage, you're only cheating yourself.
Right. Who are do we love these kids? Right. Don't we love these kids? Who's on their side?
No,
I want school choice. I like kids.
It's such a desperation by the illiberal liberals to just be accepted and want to be loved. It's a bunch of pussies. I'm sorry.
It's 100%
really
right.
It's ass kissy this and that, and it's afraid to piss anybody off for any reason. It's like, enough already. Look, you have a 50% failure in the biggest school district in the nation, the LA Unified. We have a 50% dropout. There's 20,000 kids this year, this school year, starting in a week, this school year, that don't know where they are. They dropped out of the system. 20,000? What's gonna happen? What life are these kids gonna have?
Right.
And I don't know if it's gonna be any better if they would have graduated anyway, just with how low the standards are in these schools.
Oh, we are. God, there's some stat. Maybe Chris can find it, but California is second to last in terms of how kids are doing.
Oh boy!
Because we shut the schools down the longest. Now here's my point in this conversation. I said, don't shut the schools down. I know
assholes on the left said
because I don't like kids or because I don't like teachers.
The school district said it.
Now, yes, the fucking LA Unified did it. Now these kids are committing suicide. They've gained 20 pounds. They're all fucking depressed, and half of them are scattered to the wind. We'll never get them back. So who loves the kids, you fucking hypocrite pussies? And stop wagging your fucking finger at me.
You have held the line. You held the line, and so did I. I never backed down from this. These motherfuckers, these people who surrounded them with plexiglass and said, oh, we have to protect them, we have to. And I'm telling you, these school closures that they did in California is evil, draconian, authoritarian, and dictatorial. And these assholes screwed these kids up for life. And somebody's got to pay a price for this shit. We can't just scoot it under the rug as if it's nothing. There needs to be, and hopefully when there is, it'll never happen in California, but when the Republicans take over in November, they're going to have some congressional investigations, because we cannot afford to let this happen again. And unfortunately, as you know, these controls are still in place. These dictatorial authoritarian measures that Gavin Newsom has, and that mayor of L.A., who's just this moron dictator, these guys, they could do it again tomorrow. And that's why, like, the Justice Department, God, did we dodge a bullet or not with Merrick Garland? This guy is going back into the courts, not because he wants to put masks back on people right now, but he wants to have the authority to do that, because the CDC is just an advisory. They can't make laws, and they can't demand people do things. But these people, they want more and more and more controls. And that's why you have, once government gets your liberties in any form, they'll never give it back. Once they give them their power, you never get it back. That's why, because one asshole named Richard Reed 32 years ago, or 31 years ago, tried to get on a plane with a bomb out of his sneakers, and there were the wires everywhere. Yeah. We still got to take our shoes off 30 years later. It's crazy. So,
I know. People don't even wear fucking... Richard Reed
much easier
was
now.
Caught like trying to light his shoelace. Mm-hmm. People now all show up to the airport with slippers.
Yeah, bunny slippers.
There's no wick
flip-flops.
Anymore.
No.
There's no potential. No. Everyone's got the flip-flops. Rob, save the rest of the speech for Sarah Silverman in the green room tonight.
I love you, buddy. Hey, you have been a hero. Let me just tell you this. You have never backed down one inch. And when everybody was giving you shit a year ago, and me too, when I was saying, fuck you for these extra boosters, they were just admitting stuff doesn't work, and I got excommunicated and blah, 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 and I got fired off a movie, which I never talked about. But, the real thing about it is you have been a champion at this, and it takes people to stand up, and it is, in spite of the mob majority, it's the people who stand up in spite of it and go against the headwind is the only way we're ever going to get people to come around. And it's most people want to, but most people go through life just trying to get by. And you see it, and we saw that now. And I hope that people, thanks to people like you, will be aware of it when they try this shit, because they're just getting started. They were trying to dip their toes into the water with this monkeypox, which is like no one's susceptible to that outside of a gay orgy. Let's be honest.
Well,
that's the people who...
Look...
That's too susceptible.
Well, here's the look. Of course, be careful with how they describe everything, because they do a very piss poor job of it. The news is in on it. So Gavin Newsom can't do what Gavin Newsom does without the help of the LA Times. The LA Times and
the
San Francisco Chronicle and CNN need to get the message across. Right. Gavin Newsom can make all the decrees he wants. It's these assholes who have to convince the wives that the kids are in danger of COVID so he can then enact his rules that he doesn't believe in. So it's not all Gavin Newsom's fault. It's mostly his fault, but it's all these shit rag outlets who are peddling this bullshit as well. But here's the deal, and I was thinking about it today, and Rob, I'm just curious your head on this as we bring this thing home. I realized I was early money on masks. I was early money on schools shutting down. I was early money on all this shit. Then we flirted with some idea of bringing the mask back. We flirt with these ideas. Ultimately, these politicians can make all the fucking mandates they want. But we saw with the whole George Floyd thing and everyone taking to the streets and the great Nancy Pelosi talking about folks who tore down Civil War statues. People are going to do what they're going to do.
Right.
They can't physically enforce things. We enforce them upon ourselves. So they say mask mandate. If everyone goes, fuck you, I'm not wearing a mask, there's not a goddamn thing they can do about it.
It was shelter in place and thousands of people took to the streets.
What happens is there is a thing that you've touched on, which is where majority of people know it's bullshit, but they abdicate their morality. They abdicate it and they give it up to the authority. And it is amazing to see the amount of people who are willing to knowingly just giving it up, even though they know in their heart they just want to get by, but they give up their power to the authority and how easily they do that.
Well,
and I see
yes.
that with like, well, you know, you see that in show business with no one wanted to buck the system and everything because everyone's just afraid they're not going to get hired and they're all worried about their career. But there's something more important than career. It's your country. It's your family. This is your freedom. And people like you, you have to stand, and you have. You just have to stand up to it. But you're right. If the parents say no to masks and they keep their kids out of school, day two, it's over.
I agree. And I also think what the politicians and what the policymakers don't want is a showing that they, you know, don't mind the man behind the curtain. They don't want the curtain pulled back. They don't want to make a decree and everyone goes, fuck you, because then it renders them powerless. So we in Los Angeles were kicking around this idea of bringing masks back about a month ago. I think they licked their finger and they put it in the air and they went, all of a sudden, the people that just follow the science weren't following the science. They put their finger in the air and they went, I don't think people are going to go for this. So surprise, surprise, we're not going to do the mask mandate. But they would do the mask mandate if Beverly Hills and Orange County and Pasadena didn't tell them to pound sand in advance. They knew they weren't going to get the cooperation. They didn't want to be exposed because what about their next decree when everyone ignores it? So they went back and didn't make the decree. And that's what I'm saying. You think the politicians are making the policies. It's really their policies, but it's based heavily on whether we're going to follow those policies or not. And that's why it's up to us and heroes like myself and Rob Schneider. Rob,
absolutely.
Are you heading to Bill Maher's house?
Yeah, I'm going to Bill Maher's house right now. Yeah.
Are you doing a show?
I'm driving there. I'll tell him he said hi, and I wanted to get in there, but I dropped my kids off at school this morning, got to spend a little time, have a coffee with my wife. And then I'm so glad we got to touch base. And I'm grateful to you because I honestly, there were very few people that like were putting their neck out there. And I really, I was looking to you. I know when me and Dr. Drew got slammed in the New York Times and in March of 2000 as like COVID deniers, you know,
right.
We were saying, hey, listen, guys, it's the very vulnerable people. My family runs four hospitals in New Jersey. They're like, hey, they didn't have the problems that they had in New York. Why? Because they isolated the old people and they kept, these are the people you need to protect and not everybody else. And so it was just a total clusterfuck. And we called it early and then we got shamed by the media and everything. And the thing is about it, these guys love it. Newsom loves to be on the news every week, every day, and have a press conference because that's his power, and that's why, like, you know, Garcetti, who's the biggest scumbag, this guy is all telling people they're going to cut off their power, cut their water. People better not forget that.
Right.
This guy is like he's a Goebbels. This guy is just give him the right situation, and he'll open up camps and throw the unvaccinated in there. These a holes.
I completely agree.
That you stood up and that no one's giving you shit now, are they?
Listen, you don't give shit to people that tell you to fuck off immediately. That's what these cowards certainly know. Thank you very much, Rob Schneider. And I'll see you tonight. Give my love to Bill.
See you tonight.
And
Gina, you're the best. And thanks for pitching in so much on this interview.
Aww,
all right.
Thanks,
I will say that. Rob can be found in Arlington, Texas, by the way, at the Arlington Improv. Comedy Club. That'll be August 19th through the 21st. And you can go to his website, see more dates, robschneider.com.
It's something that never comes up about Rob because he's just a doting dad off the air. But one of his kids is one of my favorite singers of all time, L. King.
That's right.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
It's cool if, you know, Rob can wet his beak a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean? I don't know how the finances shake out, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, he gets good tickets.
Yeah, my kids are burners, not earners
at this point.
But
right.
The notion of one of them bringing home a paycheck sounds pretty tantalizing. All right, Stephen Ho, comedian, former ER tech who went viral, is going to be on next. First, there's Etsy.
Hey there, kiddos. Let me tell you about shopping on Etsy. Well, I love to shop on Etsy because it's affordable. It's one-of-a-kind things made by real people. Whether you're shopping for yourself or for other people, Etsy has home decor, kids' toys, clothing and jewelry, and so much more at great prices. Instead of the usual mass-produced items, choose something that's completely original as well as affordable. The products you'll find on Etsy Marketplace are made or chosen by real people and sold at great prices. Buying from independent makers and sellers means that you know the stories behind the things you shop for and the people who make them with care and attention to fit your budget. And I think our own producer, Gary, got his sister a laser-etched decanter on Etsy that looks awesome. You'll love it, too. Am I right, Dawson?
New to Etsy? Use code HELLO10 at checkout for 10% off your first purchase. That's code HELLO10. Maximum value of $50. Ends October 31st, 2022. See terms at Etsy.com/terms. Extraordinary. Handmade. Affordable. Etsy has it. Shop Etsy.com.
All right. Well, we'll bring in Stephen Ho. Very interesting story. He's So ER tech, and then he started doing TikTok videos, and then he became the most famous person ever. And we'll talk to him right after this.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Concrete here. This stuff is good. I take it every single day. Your body makes half the creatine it needs. The other half comes from your diet, except for most American diets. Well, they're low on creatine-rich foods. Concrete, patented creatine, HCL. It's a favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes, the number one bioavailable creatine. And the only microdose in creatine, just one small scoop per 100 pounds. It comes with a little scooper and a nice little container, and you put it in. It's got a nice lemony flavor. I hit it with the frother, and you can feel it as soon as you take it in. Creatine is required for functional energy in every cell. Your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body, and it's great for your immune system as well. Dr. Drew loves it. So let's get some concrete, right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card. Available now online and in-store at Walmart. Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man, get it on. Hey, in regards to Gillette's toxic masculinity campaign, they forgot to mention that they put their name all over a fucking football team. Just a thought. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, it's true. There's no more greater expression of toxic masculinity than the NFL and the Patriots.
A little hypocritical.
Play their 8.5 games a year. Stephen Ho is our guest, comedian, former ER tech. He's got some live dates. We'll get to that. But the story of your rise to fame and success is an interesting one. So why don't you walk us through it?
Yeah. What happened? 2020, I was working in the ER at a hospital in LA. And then, COVID happened, made some TikTok videos. Everybody got really pissed at work, but
why were they pissed at work?
They were pissed because when I was making the videos and they were blown up, somebody in the TikTok world found out where I worked and told them this was offensive to people.
In what way?
That I was just, you know, I was making fun of patients in pain, surgery, just everything. They're very sensitive on TikTok. TikTok and just TikTok. Every other platform was fine. But somebody on TikTok found out where I worked and complained. And the organization that I worked for is very particular about what anybody says about them.
Mm-hmm.
Does it rhyme with Movidence?
No.
Okay. Just checking which hospital system it is.
No. Okay. But so, for example, like when COVID was happening, we had one of our doctors was interviewed by a network TV and just a couple questions. Very casual. They came to her and said, "Hey, you can't do that without media training.
Wow.
You represent us." So anything I did, I represented them, supposedly, because they found out where I worked. This person put the email of the HR, HR's email on one of my posts and just tagged them a million times. And somebody even wrote the email out, recorded this whole video, wrote the email out saying, like, this guy needs to be fired. He is a bad representation for you. I'm never coming to this place again.
Was it one particular video that got caught their ire?
There was a couple. There was a couple of videos. But
what was the theme that was so wildly offensive?
One example, one of them was like thoughts of hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video called Tips from the ER, Thoughts of Hurting Yourself, where I kind of explain what happens when you have thoughts of hurting yourself and come to the ER. Some people thought that I was making fun of people who had thoughts of hurting themselves, people who had SI. But in reality, I wasn't, because there's a lot of comments defending the process of what happens when you come to the ER. But there's just also a lot of people who said that because of this video, I'm not coming in. I'm going to go, you know,
okay,
on a life myself.
Yeah, then because of you, I'm going to be healthy and stay out of the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And SI, like suicidal ideation.
Suicidal ideation.
Oh, man.
It's tough.
I thought it was Sports Illustrated.
No.
I'm bummed out now. Yeah. Swimsuited. That's gone the way of the fucking dodo.
But don't you think, unless you're a really, really, like, no debate bad person, there's a special place in hell for somebody who carves out 2 hours in the day to try to get a stranger fucking fired from their job? Being in radio as long as I have, I can't tell you how many times some random person has tried to get me fired from a career that I have worked so hard for. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, it's
the dime droppers are – there were – in my world, it's like, the way I think, it's the dime droppers that are actually worse than, like, I'm less angry at the Gestapo members who removed Anne Frank from the attic than I am at the person who dropped the dime.
Yeah.
You can argue the Gestapo guys are just fucking doing their job. Yeah. The guys who called, the guy who dropped the dime.
Yeah.
And there is something in this case. No, in Anne Frank's case, there probably was something in it for his family or whatever it is. But it's, you know, I million years ago when I was talking about God knows what on Loveline, I said that my nephews were all, you know, half German. I think it was someone talking about my white privilege or something, and I was telling them to fuck themselves because I have nothing to do with slavery. My family's from Italy, and they never fucking owned nothing. They were renters, man. They didn't own property or people. They owned nothing. So fucking leave me out of this. And then I said my nephews are half German. Their dad's born in Germany. How responsible are they for the Holocaust? And if the answer is none, well, then apply that to me, assholes.
Yep.
And then someone called my sister and said I compared my nephews to Nazis. Now, who are these people? Who are these people? Who? Yep. I've said many. I yelled on the air the next time. Please kill yourself. Please do it. Sorry
that
about the SI.
Have flown on TikTok.
Fucking kill yourself. If this is what you do, kill yourself. You're not helping. You're hurting. And obviously, you're a serial. This is not the first person. Right. They go after everyone.
Yeah. And you'll never know who they are because that's the whole point.
Right.
You can't figure out who they are, which is why they'll freely say anything they want.
But right. There's also another point, which I got enough ire to go around. whether you're, you know, running the hospital administration, whatever, and or you're the program director for the radio station where somebody crossed the line, and or you're running ABC and someone's got some beef with the guy who hosts The Bachelor, you're allowed to tell everyone to fuck off. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Someone could write you a shitty letter saying, you know, this guy's racist. And you go, noted. Anyway,
throw it
in the trash. Just get the fuck. They'd stop doing it if these cowards stopped acting all the time. It just goes away.
Yeah.
So whoever, Chris Rose or whoever, Chris whatever.
Harrison.
He handed the roses out. Yeah. The guy hosted The Bachelor. He was canned.
Yeah.
That would have been gone by the next airing.
Right.
This would be gone.
The next news cycle.
We'd be sitting around 2 years later going, why is that guy still in that position?
Yeah.
Ugh. Fucking cowards.
Yep.
Sorry. Continue right. with
See
your story. Fired. Rob Schneider got me fired up. Can I
yeah.
say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was I
so
saying?
So once you got you and the hospital system parted ways.
Yeah, yeah. It took about a month. You know, HR was involved. My union reps were involved. They couldn't figure out a reason to actually get rid of me. But they started making my life really difficult.
How'd they do that?
Calling me into meetings, the head of HR guy every time was just, you know, he was saying like, hey, because of what you're doing, he said something crazy. He said we give patients surveys about us, mm-hmm. and apparently some of the surveys from these patients were coming back saying, well, I liked the hospital, but there's this guy on social media who's saying all these crazy things, and because of that, I don't really like you guys as much.
That's not a thing.
And because exactly, I didn't believe it either. But because he said that because they were getting these determined how much funding they get, I was literally losing the hospital money.
That's the other bullshit move these guys do. They go, I talk to somebody and whatever.
Isn't
like
that crazy?
Bring them in here.
The show business version of this is you talk to the lawyer and you go, why can't we? Crank Anchors was called Prank Puppets. That was its original title, Prank Puppets. And they do this move where they go, I was a little worried about the title, so I went down to the hall and talked to Herb Wasserman. He about fell out of his chair. It's like, you never had that fucking conversation. Fuck you. No one ever wrote you shit. It's so full of shit. Yep. Because how could it go any other way? You now have – it's the same with schools. It's like we used to have, you know – 20 teacher for every one administrator. Now we have whole divisions of equity and inclusion and shit like that. Well, they're going to find shit. That's their job.
It's a department.
They're fucking beavers. You put them on the fucking roof of the Empire State Building. They're going to look for wood to build a dam. That's what they do. So if you say, well, you head up this department and you're the Maytag repairman and no one ever comes to your door, like, what do we need you for? Like, aren't you going to get shit canned? You got to be busy.
Right.
You got to make work for yourself.
And just to get this straight, just so we're all on the same page, you didn't create this account to troll the place you worked, right?
No. So the place I worked gives us a very specific pair of scrubs that has a name all over it. I took that off. I said, no, there's no way. Like, I'm not trying to represent them at all.
So you just did it nude, right?
Right.
No.
I get you. Because you're going to get more clicks.
That's true.
Mostly dudes, but you'll get some chicks in there.
I really fucked up on that, Adam. That was a golden idea I fucked up on.
Can you give an example of something that was not controversial that you put out there that people were really into? Just so we kind of understand.
The first four videos, I think the fourth video went super viral. I talked about getting a COVID test in the ER because people – It was people coming into the ER and complaining about COVID. And, you know, some of the questions we would get would be like, do you keep the COVID patients in this hospital or is there a separate hospital just for COVID patients?
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. Or it's like, was this bed used for COVID or what? Do I get you a new one every time and burn this one? You know, it was mm-hmm. just ridiculous questions where it's like, no, none of that happens. And if you really don't want COVID, stay home for a little bit. You know, don't come to the ER unless it's for something very dangerous and dire.
Time sensitive.
Yeah, right?
We should watch that video.
Yeah, I'd like to see.
Yeah, you want to watch it?
Well, I feel like we can dance around it for quite some time, but ultimately
we love your reenactments.
To get a taste of it.
You should. I think it was the fourth video. It was the fourth Tips from the ER video. It's way all the way down. Do you want me to find it?
No, they're working on it.
They'll work on it. They'll throw it up there. So anyway, you turned your lemons into lemonade.
Yeah. No, the whole time I was just waiting for them to say something. I was ready. I was ready. Like, I was in my head, every time I was in these meetings, I'm like, dude, I'm going to flip this table, give you the finger, and just leave. You guys can't do anything to me.
Well, also, you know, whether it's cops and firemen or airline pilots and vax mandates and shit, like, aren't we kind of at a shortage of nurses and folks? Are we looking for excuses to cut people?
It's called hero pay, and you're going to give them shit?
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
God, it's so big. Everything just gets fucked up. And then you get the big unions and the big reps and the big everything, and it just turns into a fucking tangled mess. And then you end up having these kind of conversations with people that are surreal, where they're like, look, I know you didn't do anything, and I know you're a good guy and you're good at your job, but you have to understand why we're here. And it's like, I don't understand. Because you just got done saying this. All right,
this is the COVID one.
We'll watch the COVID.
Tips from the ER. Things not to ask us when you come to the emergency room. Do you have COVID patients here? Yes. Yes, motherfucker. It is a global pandemic. You can most guarantee that we have fucking COVID patients in the emergency room. No, we do not keep them in a separate building. You are not that special. And I can most guarantee 100% that you will increase your chances of getting COVID if you come to the emergency room than if you did not. Tips?
That was it. That hit like a million in a day, and I just knew, like, yeah, I'm going to quit as soon as I can.
Now, most people in cultures I know that are into nursing, their parents have thoughts about it. And did you have to sell your parents on, I'm getting out of this thing I trained super hard for and going into the unknown world of comedy?
Yeah, I've been training them for like 10 years. Like, they, you know, as soon as I got to college, it was just like, yeah, you got to do something to make money. And the most obvious choice to them was like, go be a doctor, go be a nurse, work in the hospital. So when all this was blown up, yeah, I just said, hey, I'm going to leave. And of course, they have no idea what TikTok is and what social media is. I barely did.
Mm-hmm.
But I just knew, like, yeah, there's something happening here. And I, like, it's worth quitting this job for. Because I was going to go to nursing school. When everything shut down, I was applying to nursing school during, the COVID shutdown. Had a pretty good chance of getting in, and that would have been it. And I would have been in nursing school next year.
Well, nursing school, I'm a little confused, because weren't you already a nurse?
I am an ER tech.
Oh, an ER tech. I'm sorry.
EMT.
I'm sorry. And you were going to, because that's a good career. Yeah. Like, they make good money.
Travel nurses is apparently like where it's at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always good when there's like headhunters mm-hmm. trying to get you to go work for them and stuff like that. I mean, you know, and it's one of those jobs where it's like, look, if you do typewriter repair or saddle repair or something, you're getting phased out. We got more fat, sick people in bigger hospitals and more. There's just going to be more
nurses and prostitutes. You're golden.
Oh, yeah. That's a gift that keeps giving.
Right.
So then you quit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell them to fuck off, or did you write them a letter? How'd you do it?
No, I I was still in the phase where it's like, okay, I shouldn't burn any bridges. You know, like, these people, I've been with them for two, three years. I've still really liked the people I worked with, some of the managers, not all of them. So I just said, hey, guys, I'm leaving. You know, see ya.
But it's not your first time you've worked with, should we say, at risk community. Didn't you work with inmates as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What did you do exactly?
I had a friend who I went to this theater conservatory with, and we were both in improv class and became TAs for the improv class. And he found a job through this company called Red Ladder, where they take improvisers into prisons to facilitate improv classes.
You missed your calling, Adam.
I know.
Really? You were at Let Us Entertain You.
I know. I was teaching comedy, traffic school, and party pals, but I should have taught this to
this
inmates.
This is way better.
I heard. I was listening to the Eric Griffin podcast. You did some. You were on. You were in like a troop or something, right?
I was in many troops and for many years. Although I realized that everyone sort of thinks of me as a sort of buffoon who likes cars or something. But I'm actually. I would call myself probably trained if you did like just sort of hours of like. At class time and stage time and whatever, I probably have more improv sketch training than most anybody in this business. I did it for a million years. I never missed a week. We'd have rehearsals and writing days and show days. And I did it for, you know, a decade, essentially, all the way through the Groundlings, Acme Theater, and then every other in-between class I took. So I have a lot of it. I just left at a certain point, and you never go back.
Use it in a different way.
Yeah, there we are, the Acme, oh my gosh. The Acme Theater.
Why'd you leave? I love that shit.
I had two realistic conversations with myself in my career and my life. Now I have very delusional conversations with myself. But back then I had realistic conversations. I had my first one when I was like 21, 22, and I was like, you're a carpenter, but you're funny, but maybe you could do something with comedy, but who the hell knows, but maybe you should start trying at night. You know, don't quit your day job.
Yeah.
And then at some point toward the end of my improv sketch Acme days, troop days, it was like my only family. It's like that's my home. That's the only thing I was good at besides carpentry. At some point, I was just like, where is this going? You're not Phil Hartman. Like you're not SNL material. You're not going to get to the next level. How do you get paid doing this form of comedy? You're good at it, but you don't do all the characters and all the voices. Like you're not gifted.
Yeah.
You're just good. And I was like, I think it's time to move on and go somewhere that would be more realistic use of my talent, and maybe I could get paid.
Yeah. And that's hard to do, to move on from something like that. Because, you know, we know people, I don't know, you probably do. I know people who are there, you know, for a lot, and they are really talented, and they're not getting paid, you know?
I work with some of the most talented people, and they never got paid. I just found out, sadly, that one of the best-looking, most talented guys I worked with killed himself several years ago. The super gift, you know, you know who's gifted in that group. This guy was gifted, and he looked like James Dean.
Damn.
And did 1,000 voices, and yeah, he killed himself.
Oh, so you never know.
Yeah, so it does not always work out. But you got to be realistic. Like I was like, I love doing it. I'm good at it. I'm not Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
and I didn't even know who Will Ferrell was back then.
Knowing what I know now, because right before the pandemic shut down, I had a sketch group that I was part of. I was doing stand-up comedy. I was working 2 days a week at the hospital. Wasn't making that much money, but man, I was like the happiest.
You were living.
Mm-hmm. I was the happiest I'd ever been. But like, you know, I'm sure looking back now, like I couldn't do that again. Like having that reality, like I think you had like the realistic conversation you said with yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now looking back, it's just like, man, there's so much. It's so time consuming. You love it, but man, it takes a lot out of you, you know?
Yeah. And then you're sort of like, am I getting better at this? Like, I don't know if I'm any better at it than I was 3 years ago.
I'm spinning my wheels.
Doing a lot of repetition. Yeah. And I had nowhere to go. But at a certain point, I left the theater I built. I physically built the theater, and I just
power move.
Hung it up, and I just went back to a rented house in La Crescenta, actually. And then I just went out, tried to do stand-up. Wasn't any good at it. That's about it.
Are you still doing stand-up now?
Yeah, I am. I am. I got better at it, but I that wasn't happening either. So it was not a good time. Then the earthquake hit, and all the shit went down, and
And all this time, you could have been teaching prison inmates.
I could have been teaching prison inmates. Yeah, how did that? Well, first off, are they putting you in with the worst of the worst?
Yeah, we went to a lot of different prisons, but yeah, some of them was just. I mean, it was like during my orientation for these prisons, it's like, hey, like we don't shoot warning shots. Okay.
Jesus.
Oh,
Christ.
Really?
So if anything happens, like,
yeah,
no warning shots.
Wow.
So yeah, it was pretty heavily, you know, there was pretty heavy security. And it's so funny, like during orientation, they also said, okay, whatever you do, do not fall in love with the inmates.
Okay.
Really? But and what if one of them's a dreamer? I would raise my hand.
I was like, what are you talking about? I've never fallen in love with the inmates. But then she continued to explain, and it made sense. These guys, like, the only, you know, you talk to them and you start trauma bonding very easily, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what happens was someone who worked at the prison fell in love with the inmate, and he asked her, hey, can you just bring me like an iPod shuffle? I love music. It reminds me of my kid. Mm-hmm. So she was in love with this guy. So she did. And then he blackmailed her because you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
So right.
He'll go to jail. So he said, okay, I'm going to show this to everybody unless you bring me an iPhone. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward a couple months. One morning, she's sitting at her desk. Security walks up, tells her to stand up, lifts up her shirt. And there was just a million iPhones taped to her body. Ready
wow.
to give to these inmates because she was just so fucked.
Oh, boy.
Because it keeps going.
It keeps going,
like,
yeah.
The dude's like, I need a Tesla.
Yeah.
And I want the Gullwing style. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's either that or you go to jail.
Right.
Wow.
So do not fall in love with the inmates.
And were you teaching both male and female inmates?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, male and female inmates.
I'm looking at a picture here, and it looks – they're pretty proud. There's, like, certificates.
They
complete the program.
The guys are great. Like, the guys are amazing. Like, I loved being there.
Because you have to be pretty vulnerable to be pretty mm-hmm. good at improv, and I think that would probably be pretty hard for macho dudes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And a lot of them really wanted to be vulnerable and to play, right? We didn't do like the long form Herald improvs. Right. We did the games, right? Mm-hmm. And the games are really fun, yeah. right?
Right.
And the whole point is like, okay, we're going to improv you so you pretend to be like a policeman, a fireman, a gym personal trainer. It starts to give them. Get them thinking like they can imagine a world beyond prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are they going to be outside of this to give them some, you know, keep the faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, improv should be taught like I've always said, like the school system, you know, I had a bunch of cooking and sewing classes, took 25 ceramic classes, like stuff that has no application anywhere outside of the school or even inside of the school. And I always said, you know, like taking like, you know, how to balance your finances or, you know, change a flat tire on your car mm-hmm. or something like that kind of stuff. But they should do improv too
yeah.
because it's a basic form of communication that most people have not mastered at all. And just we all know those people where you're talking to them and you go, oh, so let me tell you the other day. And they go, no, 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 no. They like keep yelling no at
uh-huh.
you. And I went to the Groundlings. I want to fucking hit them with a chair. Like, stop saying no. Let me finish
listen.
What I'm saying. Yeah. Yes. And it'll help on a first date. It'll help on a job interview. The husband and the wife can. It's just a better way to communicate. It's like you communicate your whole life. Why not get a little training in communication?
Yeah. It teaches you not to shut them down. It teaches you to go, you know, okay, I hear what you're saying. Well, what can I do to add to this to make this better?
Right.
You know?
Did you ever have to hit the floor during one of your sessions?
Yeah. Yeah. We were and this was we were leaving this.
Was that riot or blowjob? I'm thinking riot, but I feel like people at
I
home.
I was thinking blowjob.
Well, you said you can't fall in love.
That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
What did you mean?
I thought we were talking about a riot situation.
No, no, no. I wasn't thinking about that.
Okay.
So either way, did anything ever get sticky?
Yeah. Yeah. We were leaving the class once, and we were going into the yard, and out of nowhere, like these two guys started beating the crap out of another inmate, and shots just started firing.
Wow!
And everybody and all the inmates immediately got to the ground. That's what they're trained to do. Sit down. If you're standing, you're gonna get shot.
Right.
Jeez. So everybody sit down. And I was with like four other teachers, and I don't know what got into them, But they stood and watched. I ran back into the – I was the only one that ran back in.
Oh, my God. And they didn't tell you to sit the fuck down so you don't get shot?
Yeah. No, I have no idea what was that. We were behind a gate. God. But at the same time, I ran back into the classroom.
Good.
And they ended up – I think they ended up wounding one of the guys of the three. And the other guy was taken off. One guy was walked off and another guy was taken off by like a stretcher.
Oof.
Is that – like guard tower type stuff?
Yeah. Or sniper tower?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Were they like, Steve, get a tourniquet?
No. No one had any idea. I was working as an EMT.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, the whole place looked like freaking Hogwarts. It was like, it's crazy. It's Folsom. If you look up.
Oh,
Folsom.
The Folsom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that's
old. Oh, you guys know.
Folsom Prison Blues.
Yeah, yeah, well, what people don't realize is there's old school prison, and then there's these weird ones that are just out in the desert, and they have a lot of chain link and barbed wire and stuff. I've been to those.
It looks kind of like a big box store. Like,
yeah, it just doesn't like have the
Shawshank.
What you know prison vibe, but Folsom does. Stephen O is going to be found, or Ho, I should say, Stephen Ho, shall be found at the Ontario Improv, August 18th. So that's coming up if you want to go check that out. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, at Steve IOE. Is that correct?
Yep.
And thanks for coming by. It's a very interesting story.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. It's great.
We'll do trending topics with Max Zapata right after this.
All month long, the biggest movies are streaming free on Pluto TV's Popcorn Summer Movies. Watch star-studded blockbusters like Titanic and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Or fall in love with charming rom-coms like Hitch and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The best part? Pluto TV is 100% free. No credit cards, not even a sign-up. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.